Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. You have a neighbor right there. Let's see. Oh, this is Daisy, everyone. Can I see Daisy? Daisy, welcome to Evangel, Daisy. We have a card for you to fill out in the back. Okay, good morning.
Got a 6-week membership class.
6-week membership. All right. Good morning. Well, I'm going to talk this morning. Let me get set up here. So, as you know, Jeff has been talking about this series. We just actually have he's only done one. Last week got canceled, so we shifted things around. I'm continuing this series, and today we're going to talk about sowing money. That's right, who's ruling who? It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, "Now no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." Who's ruling who? I'm going to pray. Lord, I ask that this morning that you would open up our ears. Let us hear your words, God. What you want to speak to us today, God, I just pray that you would make that clear and just give us a greater understanding of your word today, God. Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you are calling us to do, God. I'm ready to be a part of this kingdom that transforms the earth. I say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So today I'm going to have a one-point sermon. That's right. Because it's all going to point to Jesus. And a couple more points too as well, but it's all going to go towards Jesus. First of all, we can't compare our journey in life to others, especially when it comes to finances and money, because it's so easy to look around at what other people have and start to ask God, why do I suffer in poverty, but this guy is, you know, drowning in riches? And first of all, we got to get that out of our mindset completely, because it's going to just be a distraction no matter where we are at in our walk with God and our walk in our life. So I'm reading this book here. It's by Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe. It's really good. It's called Kingdom Citizenship, Keys to Experiencing Heaven on Earth. It's really good. If you want to get a hold of that, you can. And I'll actually loan this out if you guys want to borrow this one. I'm going to read a little thing out of here he's got. Because first of all, we have to understand what kingdom is all about. And he does a great job explaining kingdom. Here's a little quote from him right here. It says, "Without knowing the big picture, most of us get involved in all the rituals, and we forget about our relationship with our Creator. We think that everything begins and ends with us. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger plan to this kingdom that God has us a part of. The kingdom is a family business, and our Father wants to extend his business into foreign territories. He wants his kids, like you and me, to run the earth department for him. His intention was to have the earth department look a lot like the headquarters. He wants to extend his experience from the invisible world to the visible world through his family members. He wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's awesome. So when you get to play in God's kingdom and you get to be a part of what goes on in his kingdom, we can trust God in all areas of our life. And one of those is with money. And he entrusts us with his, and with money as well. We're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians 9:10. And actually, the whole chapter of Corinthians 9 is really good about talking about finances and money and sowing. So it says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Jeff talked about the spending time when he talked about, he was talking about investing time into the kingdom. And he said, spending time and investing time are different. Spending time and investing time are different. He actually said this. Here's a quote from Jeff Hoover. I have it in my notes right here. I copied and pasted it out of your notes. Spending time with God is not the same as investing time into building a deep relationship with Jesus. One fulfills an obligation for today, and the other prepares for an incredible relationship with the lover of your soul for eternity. That's really cool. And this same goes for money as well. Spending money and investing money are two different things. It's easy to spend money, but investing money into the kingdom is a whole different thing. Billy Graham says this. I'm sure you've all heard it. He says, give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook, and I'll tell you where their heart is. That's a very heart-wrenching quote by Billy Graham, but it's very true. It can show a lot about a person's personality and where their investments are, is where their heart is. This might be new to some of you, what we're going through this morning. And actually, when I started looking into this myself, because I was like, uh-oh, I got to talk about money. And because money, you know, this has really been a really hard subject in the church, especially because a lot of people throughout history have really, really perverted this whole money issue, and the church needs money, and, you know, we've seen a lot of that. And so especially, you know, my generation have really, like, you know, thrown all that out, a lot of it, because we've seen throughout history people who abused this and abused these scriptures and abused the word of God. But so when I started actually studying this stuff, I'm like really amazed about how much God actually talks about money in the Bible and how important it is that we invest that money into the kingdom. And so this is a lot of stuff that I've got to learn as well through this. Something like if I had a recliner here, I'd like to sit in a recliner, because this is more like kind of like we're going to do this thing together here, as opposed to me like I'm telling you what to do here. You know what I'm saying? Because this is a lot that I've learned as well, and also through experience in life as well. But so I've actually got to learn some cool stuff as I studied for this teaching, and I hope that we can go this journey together. So, like I said, some of this will be new for some of you. Some of this is already yesterday's news. But here's what Paul says. He says, now may God who supplies seed to the sower, may he who supplies bread for the food, may God who does this supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and may he increase the fruits of your righteousness. That seems like a complicated passage, but Paul's basically saying this. When God supplies finance to you, part of that finance is what the scripture calls bread to eat. The Lord gives us jobs and a certain amount of finance. That's the category of bread to eat. That's the money that you live on. You pay your bills, your car payment, your house payment, your cell phone bill, which is like $500. It's crazy. And you have food. This is what your family lives on, and this is what you personally live on. It's called bread for food. And you're supposed to use the money for your personal life. There's a second category in 2 Corinthians 9:10. It says, a seed you have sown. It's called seed. This is given to you to sow. It's money. Seed is the money to sow in the ground or sow into the kingdom. Of all the money that God has given you, you're called to sow. For some of us, it'll be a very small amount. Some of us will be a very large amount. Is this good? We start looking at money as sowing and seeds. It kind of, you get a bigger understanding of what's going on here when they're talking about it, and when God's talking about it in the Bible. That money is a seed that we plant and we invest into the kingdom. Because he's the God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You know, he's the one that's got there's gates. The gates that are in heaven are made out of pearl. The pearls, and they say that the walls are what? How big are the walls? Thousands, miles. They're pretty tall. The walls, the kingdom walls. I forgot now. But do you imagine the gates of those walls? And they're made of pearls, and the streets are paved with gold. So God's not lacking in money. So it's not like he's like, hey, I want your money. It's mine. That's not God. He wants, it's just, there's more going on here. We're going to get deeper here. So there's two categories of finance. It's the seed that God intends you to sow, and it's the bread that he intends you to eat. Food for you and your family, your recreation, entertainment, and your daily supplies. The problem is that many believers see all of their money as food to eat. So everything that you earn, everything that we earn sometimes, we just shove it in our pockets and we're like, that's mine too, for my entertainment, for food, for things that, for me. I know that money can't buy everything, and $1 million won't buy me everything, but it could buy me a boat and a truck to pull it. Okay. It's a song. You want me to sing it for you? Buy me a boat. That's Jacob's favorite song. Truck to pull it. Okay, anyways, back on track here. So some people don't have the revelation of God's involvement in their finances. So if we have $1,000 or $1 million, they see all that as food to eat. In other words, they see it as money to use as the, for themselves. The Lord will look at that and say, no, I give this money to you for food and your own personal life. I entrusted part of this as seed so that you would sow it into my kingdom. So this is important. Everything we do, like when I get up in the morning and I go to work and it's snowing outside and I have to go to work and I go like, ugh. But God's given me the ability to even go to work in the first place. You know what I mean? When I crawl out of bed in the morning and I'm grumbling about work, he's the one who's even given me the physical ability to even go to work or even to have that job to begin with. You know what I'm saying? And so I've done this throughout the years, and I do this occasionally too. You know, you get your paycheck, and you're like, I earned this paycheck. It's my paycheck. Actually, my wife takes my paycheck, but but anyways, you know, that's it hurts too. But yeah, so but we get this thing in our heart. We say, I earned this. This, and especially for a man, because a man's like, yeah, I'm like, I earned this. I worked hard for this. But then God's saying, no, I gave that to you. It was mine to begin with. I gave it to you. You know, I gave you the ability to earn that. You know what I'm saying? And so we get so prideful sometimes about putting it all on this. This is, you know, and God's saying, I'm giving this to you so that you can use it for my kingdom. So there's a greater, there's a, remember we said, read in the book, there's a bigger picture to what's going on in the kingdom. Yeah. So Jeff was talking about marriage. That was really cool that he shared that story, because that was kind of the exact same story I was going to share about our marriage, because how somebody took the time to invest in us. And Nina, do you want to share that? Just what? No? Sure. She's going to share. This is not planned. Like, I mean, it was kind of planned, but I mean, the marriage thing coming up and marriage, and there's one way that somebody sowed into our marriage and it really helped us.
I believe I missed that I take your paycheck when I was taking a kid to class. Let's clarify. He doesn't like to do that. So if he gets his paycheck, he brings it home, and I still have to go to the bank anyways. Yes. So I don't know. Like, what do I do with this thing? No, anyways. So let's see. It was about 8 years ago, probably. No, longer than that. Oh, the time's going by too fast. I don't know, 9 or 10 years ago. And we were coming to Evangel, but not like really consistently, because I had a really hard pregnancy with Ethan and was on a lot of bed rest. And so it wasn't that long after he was born. And somebody from the body showed up at our house one day and had bought us the Love Dare books, I think. She had these gifts for us that were wrapped. I think that there was like a candy bar with each book too or something. I cannot remember. But she just stopped by our house one day, had these Love Dare books for us, and then also had a card and completely paid for our marriage retreat. And at that time, our marriage was like, I mean, because everybody knows you have seasons where stuff's really, really hard and then stuff's really, really good. And this was one of those seasons where it was really, really hard. And I think because of the hardness with Ethan's pregnancy, too, and everything, we were pretty much on the verge of divorce. I mean, it was a God thing. I mean, that word really hadn't been brought up in that season, but we really didn't like each other at all. I mean, honestly. So, so this woman from Evangel came over to our house and prayed for us, gave us these books, paid for our retreat, and then also arranged for a sitter for Leah, because we had Leah, Jacob, and Isaac. And so Leah was taken care of. We just had to find a sitter for the younger two boys. Anyways, but that was like one of the best times I think that we had ever had, not because the marriage retreat necessarily was so great. I mean, I'm totally an advocate for them, but because somebody had invested in us so much. And it was like to where we were like not really a whole lot plugged in. So she had actually contacted whoever was in charge of the retreat that year and was like, is it okay if Kevin and Nina go, and if they even just need to just spend some downtime in the room and don't even go to the classes or anything like that? And so we had absolutely no expectations going into on us going into this. And It was amazing, to the point where, I mean, we ended up being blessed so much in the time that that was bought into the time that we went, that we were even able to help out other couples once we were down at the beach. Anyway, so it was just really, really amazing. And there's so many times where time and time again, people in the body have just completely sown into our lives with finances and with prayer and just with fellowship and just being able to just really love one another and really speak truth into each other when we're really at a place of desperation. So was that kind of what you wanted?
Yeah. Okay. Good. Very good. She's beautiful. I had her share the story because I would have shared it wrong. My version's different. Always, isn't it? Anyways, so that's an example of when you sow into somebody's life, and like somebody saw in their heart that there's a couple that was in need, and they had a little bit of extra finances in their back pocket, and they decided that this is one way that I'm going to help, is I'm going to sow financially into their marriage. And she did that for quite a while. She would actually buy us books, and she would take Nina out to coffee and spend money on her a lot, and walked her through a time in her life that obviously it wasn't about the money, but it was her sowing financially into our marriage, and it really did help turn our marriage around. And so that's an example of sowing and reaping of the harvest. And oftentimes when we sow seed, and it says in Matthew, I think I forgot. I have to pull it up here. Anyways, when we sometimes when you sow a seed, somebody else gets to reap the benefits of the harvest. So you're not always getting the harvest, but somebody else will benefit from that. And Jesus talks about that in Matthew. He says you sow the seed, but somebody else will sometimes get the harvest of that. And so this is a really important issue. And I know some of us are probably in our situation, we were in a point where it's we could barely survive and barely pay our bills. And it's like, well, how do you sow into somebody financially when you can barely stay afloat? You know what I'm saying? And like I said, it's the bigger picture here. It's not about the money per se. It's about that investment that you make, and just that cup of coffee that you take somebody out. That's sowing into the kingdom of God. Yeah. Every time that you invest a little bit here and a little bit there. And it's a big deal, beloved. It's a huge deal. Like I said, and once you're been, and there's times in your life where you get to be on the receiving end and you get to be on the giving end too. And when you're on the receiving end, you appreciate it so much that when you are able to help somebody else, you've been at the other end, so you're able to do it in return, and it's pretty awesome. This is fun stuff. Here's the principle of seed. The exciting thing about seed is you sow it or plant it, and it grows, and then it increases. The problem with seed is this. If you cook the seed and eat the seed, it doesn't grow. This is what a farmer does. A farmer takes part of his crops and stores it up as seed for next year. If the farmer eats part of the crop, or the livestock consumes it. What Paul is saying is that if we take the money that God gives us and we sow it, if we actually understand and we sow it, the passage indicates God will multiply it so that we can sow it. The scripture is clear that if we get to play a role in determining how much multiplication happens by determining how much of the seed we're obedient in sowing. So we actually get a choice on how much seed we're going to sow. God gives us the ability to choose that, right? So God will multiply it if we sow it. The scripture is very clear about that, and we can't argue that. A good example of this is tithing. Tithing is a basic principle that every Christian should understand, you know, because the Bible is really clear about tithing. And it's what it does is it disciplines us in the process of giving. So we start out like, let's say, 10%, you know, and you do that on a weekly basis or whatever, monthly basis or whatever. But you do it over a period of time, and you've disciplined yourself to give. And so that's just the beginning. That's the basics of 101 of sowing finances, because it's already become a natural thing for you when you're tithing on a basis, as opposed to all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, well, should I give a gift to somebody or not? It's a no-brainer because you already know the importance of giving, because it's already set in your heart. You've already disciplined yourself through tithing. So tithing is a real good way to get started in that direction. You know, God, what he's really looking for is he's looking for a heart connection here. You know, he's looking for a man and a woman who says, I will trust in you in every area of my life, and especially in finances. And that's really hard today for a lot of people to do, because we are, like I said, most of us are just getting by. And so when we take that step to trust God in our finances, and it's, he's looking for that heart connection. He's looking for things that he can remove out of our lives that may possibly hinder his love for us. When the young rich ruler came to him and said, I've followed all your commandments, what else should I do? Jesus said, go sell all your possessions, give to the poor. He said it to that guy because that was something that hindered God's love for him. That was something that became a problem for him, was finances. And so not necessarily that's going to be a problem for all of us, but in that situation it was. Because God's like, I want to remove those things that are going to hinder my love for you, because I want a heart connection here. There's got to be a deeper heart connection here. And if that's going to be a problem, we need to deal with it. You know? How are you guys doing out there? In Malachi, it says this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there will be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will be no room for enough to store it. The Bible is clear about not testing him, but in this one area, God does say that test me in. Test me with your finances. Test me with the seed that I've given you. It's the one area in the Bible that says that you are allowed to test him in. This is not some plug for, like, you know, evangel needs money. Trust me. This is not. And this is a really hard teaching, as you can tell. This is not something that, you know, we go around wanting to talk about all the time, you know. I want to be that guy that's like, hey, send me your love donations. You know? No. This is not what it's about. And this is not even about, like, evangel's finances. This is about us investing in God's kingdom. You know, it's a bigger picture. And it's a part of sowing into his kingdom. It's really important. The Bible is really clear about how important this is. And actually, there can be a great joy in giving financially, in the awareness that God's eyes are on us and with his pleasure. There is a cause and effect dynamic that God intends that we understand. When we do a charitable deed, Matthew 6:3, it says this: when we do a charitable deed, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's Jesus. And if you have children, I mean, oh my goodness, you talk about planting seeds financially, and you have children, I mean, you know that you've spent a lot of money on these kids, and you're like, ugh. But that's so important about just being a parent. Is like, I mean, one thing I saw here, it says it costs about $230,000 to $300,000 to raise a kid, you know? I have 5 kids and a son-in-law, and that's a lot of money. So, but anyways, so yeah, but every time you invest in your child and you buy him a drum equipment, that's investing a seed into the kingdom, because he can use those tools to worship God, which is pretty amazing. That was my son up there. I'm bragging on him. That was cool. And so, you know what I'm saying? So that is, like, we get the opportunity, if you have children or no children, to invest in God's kingdom with your finances to a child. And it's cool. It's a cool. So another opportunity that we have. So what will we harvest if we faithfully sow this seed into the kingdom? We will harvest a great influence. We'll harvest a great influence for the king. We'll harvest a great influence in people's lives. Because when we harvest, when we sow the seed into the kingdom, we will reap a harvest of influence. We also reap a harvest of, let's see here. So, oh yeah, righteousness. Because we talked about it earlier. We will harvest righteousness, won't we? It said in Corinthians, it says that we'll harvest a great fruit of righteousness. We will be in right standing before God when we are faithfully obeying him in all areas of our life, including finances. Because righteousness is a right standing before God. So 2 Corinthians 9:10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So that is a harvest that we will be able to take part in. Those who receive finances are content. They are filled with joy and thanks, knowing that God's eyes are on them. Like I said, when I get my paycheck, I can look at that thing and say, I earned this thing, or I can give it, or I can look at it and say, God, thank you so much for giving this to me. You know, thank you for allowing me to even have this thing to begin with. You know, I get home, sometimes I get home and I look at my house and it's falling apart and I'm like, oh, this thing's a piece of junk. And I'm like, sorry, God. Because I forget sometimes that he's the one that gave it to me. And I wouldn't even be living in that house if it wasn't for him to begin with. You know what I'm saying? And I try to explain it to my kids all the time. Like, hey, oh, never mind. This is not your house. Anyways. So 2 Corinthians 9:12 says this, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also the abounding through many thanksgivings to God. One whose harvest oftentimes one who sows seed should do this with a grateful heart and not feel like they're pressured into some kind of tactic of giving or you have to give your finances or you're not going to be a member of this body if you don't give money away. No, but when you give joyfully, the Bible says, and the scripture talks about, 1 Timothy 6:8 says, so if you have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Be content with what you have, that God has given that to you. And we need to be content with that and be thankful for the things that God has given us. And never forget where that came from. 2 Corinthians 8:14 says, right now you have plenty and you can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty, and they can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. And that was what I talked about earlier, that sometimes you're on the receiving end, but sometimes you're on the giving end. And that's how the kingdom works, isn't it? It's so sweet. Like I said, somebody invested in our marriage at one time in our lives when we really needed it. And in return, we've been able to invest in other people's lives because we've been on that receiving end and know how important it was for us. I mean, there's been times in our marriage, too, where, I mean, we've had people give us cars, like 2 cars. We've had people give us, like, furniture. I don't think we've even bought any furniture, have we? Every furniture that we've owned, I think people have given us. And it's not, like brand new stuff, but it's just, like, stuff that we couldn't afford in times, and people have don't, you know, and it's just, like, it's so cool to be on that receiving end, but it's so humbling sometimes because I'm, like, so stubborn. I'm like, no, we're fine. We're good. Thanks. You know what I mean? But sometimes you're not good, but you want to act all like you're good. And you're like, so like if people want to give you stuff, I mean, let people bless you. Let them give you things, you know? And like at work, like sometimes people give me money, like especially during the Christmas season, they'll give me like, they'll tip me, you know, for just you know, thank you for doing a good job for the year. And I mean, there's people who have given me $50. I got a $100 bill like twice now from a customer who just comes out and just gives it to me and says, thank you for doing a good job this year. And it's like, I can't. And God's like, yes, you can. Okay. You know, but it's really hard. It's hard to receive that. But then I'm like driving around. I'm like, God, you're amazing. You know, especially during the holiday seasons when you like really need that. So what's really cool is I have the opportunity to do that back and return to somebody else, you know, because that little bit makes a difference. So it's cool. It's how God's kingdom works. There's only two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. And we have to choose what part of kingdom we're going to be a part of. And I'm hoping that majority of you are in the kingdom of the light. Well, all of you, I hope. I actually have all of you. And so this is how God's kingdom works. He imparts this into our hearts. This is a quote from Mike Bickle. He says this, "There will be a great transfer of wealth as God openly manifests his ownership over the silver and gold when he shakes all the nations in the end times. He will finance the end times harvest and prayer movement. His power is manifest as much in the realm of transferring finances as in healing and the sick. He wants us to believe him for money as much as we believe him for healing." Isn't that interesting? I don't know if I've ever even put the two together, but this is what he calls it. He calls it a power encounter. Power encounters like healing, signs and wonders. But he also calls financial miracles power encounters as well. And so when God does a financial miracle in your life, that's a power encounter from God. And we can look at those things and say, God not only wants to heal the sick and raise the dead, but he also wants to bless you with finances and do miraculous things in your lives, like you know, like wipe your debt clear. I mean, has anybody ever had that happen? We've had some stuff like that over the years that where we owed money and all of a sudden it didn't owe as much. And they're like, you know, creditors are like, hey, we'll settle out for this much. Okay, you know, and you're done and your debt's gone. You know, it's cool. Anyways. Those things in your life, you know, those are power. Those are encounters from God that he can do miraculous in them, you know, like give you houses and cars and things. Those are also just important. And those as we go closer into the end times, those are things going to be important to carry us along. I mean, we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what the stock market's going to look like because we trust in that. But we need to trust in God to take care of us and carry us through this stuff, you know. Because we're going to have to be able to buy and sell, you know, in the future. And if things get weird and they're like, we don't want the church doing this and we don't want the church doing that, God's going to have to supply because, you know, our jobs might go out the door. And then what? We're not going to have this fancy stage up here. Anyways, so we get a chance to see God doing those miraculous things. And I know it's going to get bigger and greater as time gets harder and more difficult. We'll be able to see greater measures of God's riches and finances. I'm getting a little preachy. So in Psalm 67:1, it says, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. The psalmist wanted to be blessed so that he could use his wealth to bless others and make the Lord's name known. God will release great wealth to the right people at the right time and for the right reasons. And throughout history, the people who have been blessed most financially are the ones who are usually giving back the most financially. You know, it's not just so they can have a bigger house and a nicer car. It's usually the God places something, a desire in their heart so they can reach out into missions, so they can see lost souls. And so God gives them a greater finances because they're looking at souls, not their bank account. You know, and so God opens up doors. I mean, like the IHOP movement, a lot of that, you know, they have a lot of money in a very big facility in a very big place, but a lot of that was just given to them for free. Like property is given them for free. Things like that, because not because like they want to just have this massive amount of like influx of people coming in, but because there was a heart and a hunger and a desire to see souls saved and have his word be spread across the earth, you know, and missions and things like that. And it's happening. I mean, you grew up with TBN, you know, the broadcasting network, and I used to watch that stuff. I loved it. It was a really key, important part of my life when I first came back to the church. I used to watch TBN a lot. And they did ask for a lot of money. And some people were like really critical of that. And, you know, some people do it right, some people don't do it right. But if you look at it today, what they've done with that network, that broadcasting network, they're broadcasting the gospel all throughout the entire world. They've done an amazing thing with that network. And, and there's good and bad that comes with that, but also they've reached people groups that were not able to be reached because they've invested in this broadcasting network, you know? So it's pretty cool. Like, that's an example of what God can do just through sowing into a seed, you know? And like I said, there's some weird stuff with that because, you know, it can go south and go weird, but also there is God in that, you know? There's people being reached all over the world. So that's my point was the psalmist was praying, Lord, bless me so that I can bless others, not because I just want to have a pocket full of money. God gives us wealth to establish his covenant, to bring in more people into his benefits of the covenant relationship with him. He gives us wealth so that we can promote the gospel. There are those who have gone through radical paradigm shift related to money. When they see money, they see souls, intercessors, and being able to help the oppressed, and etc. So a lot of us have a pocket full of seeds, but without the fruit, because they don't sow the seed. Seed can, and I was actually watching some videos about sowing and seeds and that whole germination process. I used a big word, yeah. Germination. I'm back. Okay, anyways. So there's something that happens in this germination process of a seed when you put a seed in the ground. So if you just take seeds, like here's some sunflower seeds, for example. And these sunflower seeds are in this little nice little packet. They're ready for me to be eaten. But they mess up my mouth really bad, so I really don't eat them that much. But when they're in this package, did you know that they actually go dormant or go to sleep? Because, you know, do you know why? I learned about this. It's pretty cool. Because they're in the wrong type of environment. So a seed cannot do the germination process until it's placed in the proper environment. It has to have the proper soil, the proper moisture, the proper whatever the stuff going on. And so it's pretty cool. So that's why he's relating to sowing the seed and money and finances, connecting that whole connection there. The same thing with your money is like, it's not going to do anything any good if it's in your pocket. But when you start sowing it, right? When you start sowing it into his kingdom, right? Here.
Well, hey, thanks.
Now I'm placing it into an environment where it can actually grow. And it can start to germinate. Because you know what happens when the germination process starts? The roots go down deep. And those roots are very important to the process of the germination. And so, you know, and there's fruit that comes eventually. But it may not happen overnight. I think these are salted. These really wouldn't grow if you put them in the ground. But it's just to make my point. But this process of germination takes place, and it's very important because you spread those seeds all over the community. You spread those seeds into the kingdom of God, right? And over time, those seeds start to grow. They start to grow a little more. They start to sprout, and then we see fruit. And what comes from the fruit? More seeds. Harvest. More seed. So what do you do with the seed? We learned about it in Corinthians. You don't just put all the seed in your pocket just so you can eat it. Because if you eat it, there's no more seed left. You eat some of it, and you sow the rest of it, so more seed can come. So it's a process, right? It goes on and on. It's the whole farming process. I'm not a farmer, but I think that's how it works. If I was a farmer, if I had $1 million, I'd buy a boat and a truck to pull it. So God actually gives us the opportunity to determine how much of the measure and how far we will go in our giving with him. He lets us choose that. We get to make that choice, how far we're going to go and how far we're going to trust him. We're developing a personal history in God in this area of giving financially, because we know as you do this more and more and more, and you see the fruits of it more and more and more, the more you're going to do it, right? And so you're building a history with God. But it starts with just a little, and then, you know, and whatever you have is important to him. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. You don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide you with all you need, and then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. You sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. The person who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Luke 6 says this, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, for the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Giving shouldn't be based on a percentage of our finances. Should be based on our percentage of our finances, not the amount. That's like the poor woman in the Bible. Where's she at here? The poor widow woman. You know, it's not about how much she gave. It's about a percentage of what she gave. And then Luke 21, it says, the poor widow has put in more than all. For all of these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all of her livelihood that she had. So, like I said, it goes back to the heart connection. God's not looking at your wallet. He's looking at your heart. He's saying, where's your heart in this, you know? And you know, like I said, you could go to the big meeting and have somebody make you feel really guilty and say, give us your money now or else you're going to hell, you know? And some people have done that throughout the years. But that's not what it's about. It's about what God's saying is that, do you trust me? Let's do this thing together. Let's go on this journey together. Let me show you the bigger picture. It's about my kingdom. You're a child in my kingdom. And I want to give you stuff so you can give it back in return to help somebody else. You know, I want to take care of you so that you can take care of others. And that's kingdom life. That's kingdom living. You sow, you get to your harvest. So let's see. What time is it? Can I say no? Yes, of course. What if I did say no? What would you do? I have the microphone.
You would not be in trouble. I just was back there listening to him and was thinking, because he's been working a couple weeks on this teaching, and he's been listening to different teachings, and one night he had one on by Bickle, and he fell asleep, and I was up listening to it, and I just thought that it was just kind of like, I just started cracking up laughing loud in bed while Kevin was snoring, because Bickle was talking about finances, and he was talking about how the Lord provides for each and every one of us according to our needs, just like the Israelites with the manna when they were walking. And anyways, he just said, and the Lord does not provide for your sporadic shopping spree. And I just started like busting up laughing, because I'm like, there's so many of us that look at finances of somebody else and how somebody else is spending their money and are like, oh, I want that too. If I just go on a shopping spree, the Lord will provide for me. Sometimes he does. I'm not saying that he doesn't ever provide that for us. I mean, he does bless us. But it's also about each and every one of us and our own individual relationship with him and what he's called us to do. And as Kevin touched on earlier, just our the percentage of our finances and that we've been told by the Lord to give, because it's a heart issue. So anyways, did that kind of make sense?
Yeah, thank you, honey. You're still beautiful. I scored some good points today. Maybe not. Yeah, what she said was good. The this is it. The Lord says that if you have a revelation, I have the money. Trust in me. He says, if you need, I have the money, and all you need is a willing heart, and you will prosper. I'll give you a supply beyond anything you can imagine if you will partner with me in my kingdom. It's important. David was a shepherd boy, just a little old poor shepherd boy. And look where he ended up, one of the richest kings. He had nothing at one point in his life, but God had a bigger plan for his life. This guy here, this is Jim Elliot. I'm sure some of you have heard of him. I don't know too much about him, but he's a pretty cool dude. He was a missionary back in the 20s, 50s. He died in 1956. He was a martyr. He was from Portland, Oregon. And he wanted to be involved in missions. And God placed it in his heart. And he gave his whole life to missions and the gospel. He moved to the Ecuador, and he went into the tribes of these little Indian tribes and preached the gospel and took friends with them. And they really transformed these little tribes all throughout the Ecuador area, and these little Indian tribes. And he ended up actually getting killed by some of these Indians. But this is what he says. This is the quote I was trying to focus here on. He says this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. We have to give everything. He is the king. We live under a kingdom. He is the authority in our lives. He wants every area of our heart, including finances. It's so important that we sow into his kingdom. It's so important. Sow into the kingdom of God. There are people in our city who are just waiting for you to sow into them. There are marriages in this city that are waiting for you to sow into them. If you're not sure, all you have to do is ask God, "What can I do to start sowing?" Or if you already are sowing, maybe God wants to have you increase that sowing today. We have opportunities even here in Evangel. My dad is an evangelist, and he travels all over. But it wasn't like that when we were kids. When we were kids, we were like, I got hand-me-downs from hand-me-downs. You know what I'm saying? Because he was a pastor and didn't make hardly a squat. And now he gets to travel over the world, and he goes to Africa and Alaska and Russia, and God's really brought him to a place where he can do the things that he's able to do because people are sowing into his ministry. We have a Jerry Chapman who's going to be up here speaking in a few while, and there's an opportunity to sow into a ministry that you are going to reap the benefits of. When you sow into that ministry, you reap the benefits of that ministry. There's an opportunity for that. I mean, there's this guy in Africa, Rogers. There's another opportunity where you can sow into something that's bigger. And you may not see the harvest to that, but it doesn't matter. Like I said, somebody else will benefit from the seed that you sow. God has placed seed in your pocket, not to stay in your pocket, but to sow into somebody else's life, into the kingdom. And so whether it be a child or a missionary who travels across the world, they're just as important because it's God's kingdom. They're God's children. Amen? Amen. Big deal. So, yeah, I think that's about, we'll be done here. Let me pray, wrap this up. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak the words of truth today, God. Such a blessing to be able to look into your word and deliver your messages. And God, I just pray that whatever you're doing in our hearts today, God, you just continue to grow that seed. And I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for the finances. I thank you that you've blessed us all in this room, Lord. And I pray that you would be able to place in our hearts a hunger and desire that when we look at people's lives, Lord, we don't see them in a negative way, but we see them as another person in the kingdom of God. That we see an opportunity everywhere we go, that this is a part, this is my part that I get to play in God's kingdom. And this little tiny bit that I can do by planting a seed will go farther than I can ever imagine. Lord, I pray that you would bless us all, that you would supply what we need in our lives, God, that you would keep us all healthy and safe and protect us and set us free from any fear that we may have of stepping forward in this area. God, I say no more. Give us the freedom to be able to step out and do greater measures than we've ever done before, God. Give us a greater faith, a greater faith to believe for bigger things than we've ever seen before. In Jesus' name, amen.